Yo, it's effective immediately. I'm DJ Head.
Hey, that's I'm Gina.
Crazy. Gina Views, we here. We got some legends in the building hanging out with us. Man, we gonna rap about it for sure. We got Dave East is here. Capo Jim Jones is here. Yep. Mano is here. Brooklyn. And speaking of Brooklyn, Fab is here. FAB. What's up? Man, thank y'all for coming through.
Thank you for having us.
It's an honor. Bro. You know, East, we already rock, you know, so you already been through, but this is y'all first time fucking with us, and I appreciate y'all immensely.
It's all love.
You know what I'm saying? Gina Views is a huge, she probably not going to be able to talk for like the first 5 minutes. She's a huge rap fan.
Yeah.
I'm just going to put it out there.
That's what's up.
Like, she know all y'all niggas bars and all that shit, so we're going to get to that. But I guess where I want to start for y'all as a collective, because now going, being rappers, artists in your own right, and now trying to take our jobs and being broadcasters.
That's crazy.
Right? You gotta take your job, man.
Right? I would just want to know what the inspiration was behind y'all clicking up and doing Let's Rap About It, like, because it's funny as hell, and it's like watching the homies and the cousins kick it.
It was regular. It wasn't. I wouldn't even say it was no real inspiration behind it. Like, we already had a vibe from working out to doing music to just running around the city, and I just feel like it was just something. There's just cameras on us now.
Is that it? Speaking of which, I remember watching, I think it was Jim. I don't remember who was going to the gym first, like working out. But the gym videos was classic.
Right.
And niggas would be outfits, holding each other accountable on that camera. Yeah. And I think that's where it started for me when I started noticing the chemistry.
Right.
I was about to say, I got set up. I had no idea that podcasting was in my future or anything like that. We came to do an interview with Jim, and then it just steamrolled into us doing the show. But it, you know, the foundation was there, the chemistry was there, you know what I'm saying? And I did like some research on, you know, podcasts and where the culture stands with it. I feel like hip hop has really tapped into that. And podcasting before that to me was just a different community. I ain't gonna put nobody, no races or anything on it, but it was like a different community. But now I feel like hip hop is, and I think that's how people should embrace it too. Everybody keeps saying, yo, rappers are now being like, it's part of our culture now.
Yeah, it's ecosystem, you know what I'm
saying?
It's
and so it's not just, you know, just only rappers. It's a lot of people starting. There's athletes starting it. There's, you know, social influencers starting it. There's designers starting it. So everybody's, you know, everybody's talking they talk, so to say, you know what I'm saying? So that's where I did the research, and it looked like a thing that I know I wanted to do.
For sure. You was gonna say something?
Yeah, I think it's just like you said, like it's another bracket in the community, like in the culture, actually. Like everybody is trying to tap into it. I don't look at myself and I don't think that they look at themselves as broadcasters or, you know what I mean? I think what we do is it's just like brothers coming together, we having conversations, some of it funny, some of it, you know, some jewels. And it's like talk that you would be with, like you said, your cousin. You know what I mean?
Y'all definitely remind me of my cousin.
Right, so we just kicking it. We having fun at the same time. We just, you know, we just being ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And then in the midst of that, is there music? Is there? I know that y'all have music together, but is there? I know people probably ask y'all, is there like a project in the works, or is that? Have y'all thought about it at least?
Is Dave East a lobby boy?
That's what the Reddit want to know. The Reddit thing is like,
where the tape at?
You know, we recorded like about 8-9 records. All four? Yeah.
Okay.
We actually was working on records before the podcast. Wow. We just was like,
got some shit.
Just from the camaraderie being together, we just, you know, started
got
putting
some
the records.
Too.
Yeah.
I've been
watching since when it was just the first one y'all did with Artist to Artist, and then you brought them on. Yeah. And y'all pause is so bad, I thought I was bad, because I paused this nigga on the regular.
Really?
It'd be OD.
But
be
OD. Y'all be having Mano
fucked
up. I wanted
to pause your name when you introduced your name.
You see what I said? I said, oh, my God.
I just let
I didn't like how you said it.
You got to change your name.
You got to change something about
you. You might have to like,
you got to say pause.
I'm not calling you. I'm not calling you your full day. I'm not even doing it.
Guess what is?
DJ H.
What up?
My man H over here.
Wait till you find out the government.
Hold on. First of all, you think I chose that? Who the fuck chooses? You know what I'm saying? Niggas just made fun of me. Like I said, I have cousins like y'all.
It chose you.
I got
name chose you.
Hey, fuck. I ain't choose the name. The name chose me.
I choose this shit.
Yo, sometimes it tells. I don't play balls. So
Yeah, I know you anti-Paul.
They do be having
fucked up. That's why you got a Paul's man.
So I got
page.
Something for you to yeah. pull out on.
He ain't got no
every
choice
time.
but to participate.
You got a whole page.
Because the way he talks is crazy.
Every time they play with you, Dave, you familiar with this right mm-hmm. here. Every time they play with you, you got to pull one of these cards out. This for y'all show.
What's the Paul's cards?
No.
What's called?
Whole fashions. Oh, wow. Intimate
experiences.
Oh, wow.
It's a card game.
That's definitely a Maino type of game. That's definitely a Maino type of game.
Why you say that?
Whole fashions. That's the type of games he play. He play games like that.
He's very risque.
Risque.
I made them cards myself. Every time they ask you some crazy shit, just pull a card out on them like Pokemon.
I like that. Whole fashions.
Intimate experiences.
Let's see, open it. Let's read one.
1-800.
Let's read one, man.
No, we'll open it up.
Oh, you about to crack it open right now?
Yeah.
I got an open box if you don't want to crack it open.
Oh, shit.
They were setting you up for the struggle right there.
That was crazy. He about to hurt his nail.
Hold on.
That manicure wasn't working right. Yeah. That shit was
okay, look.
Folded.
Before we can we hold on.
can we try to open the shit you can't get it.
Yeah, you got to bite that
shit. We'll play it at the end.
I want to talk about some rap shit real quick because I can't have y'all here not talk about some rap shit. I got stories for each and every one of y'all. But I want to start with Jim, because when we was listening to first of all, she just found out Certified Gangsters was a record like 4 years ago, right? So
that's crazy. But well, you probably young. I don't. It's cool.
I'm a kid still.
I get it
a little bit. I'm legal.
I get it.
But my thing is when that came out, that was such a impactful record, I guess you could say, and it wasn't necessarily a thing where it was like people were collaborating in that way, especially on that texture record when you and Chuck did that. Was that did you get any I guess I don't want to say energy, but did you get any pushback on collaborating in that way
from who?
Just in general, I don't know.
Like East Coast, West Coast collabing.
Not necessarily that. That had already passed in my perspective, but just from anywhere.
Only person that tried to give me some pushback at that time was Dr. Dre.
He didn't want you to do the record, or
he was mad that I was able to have Game's first likeness out to the public on my record.
Oh, before he got a chance to put him out.
After he had just did the deal.
Damn. So, but did they have to clear it, or was that not a thing?
It didn't matter at that time.
Got it. Okay.
You heard? I don't care. I didn't.
His record's coming
about
out.
Clearance about none of that. And shout out to Dr. Dre, but at that time, I didn't really care about nothing but this record's going out. Shout out to Game, shout out to Chuck. Dope record, shout out to Eazy-E, shout out to Lil E.
That was one of them records, bro. That shit, I was oh my, niggas was like, oh my God, I can't believe.
I was always a fan of West Coast music coming out, like a big, big, big fan. DPG, Dog Pound, all that like that.
For real?
Super big West Coast fan. So when that beat was presented to me, it was like, oh nah, I already knew the whole history and the culture, N.W.A., Eazy-E, I was already easy, so it was dope.
That's what's up.
Well, since we're going back in the day, Fabulous, I have been a fan for a long time.
Thank you.
You're my favorite rapper. I actually don't even see y'all, if I'm keeping it real.
That's crazy.
I love y'all.
Come on, that's good.
Damn, Gina. I got tweets that's over just from the beginning of Twitter. My Twitter used to be Loso Graham.
Wow.
Because
that was your app?
That was my Twitter. For me, it go Fab, Wayne, Drake, Wale. That's my, y'all are my top. But this is so random. Why was you in Brown Sugar?
The movie?
Yeah.
when you hot, movies start just grabbing you to be in scenes of movies just for your namesake or for your likeness, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? I was watching Fast and the Furious and Cardi B was in a helicopter. I'm like, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? But that's the type of shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It was one of them kind of things for real. I was in that. I was in another What's the scary movie that they be making it funny or something like that?
Scream.
It was like
Scary
Scream
movie.
Or
it's
one of
the
them
parody.
One of them. Yeah, one of them parody ones. They that's kind of. I think I just did it too, just for that sake, because they really will tell you like, yo, we just want to have a face out of nowhere that people gonna recognize, but don't know why they kind of in it. Kind of.
Did they give you lines or like was it cut out or what? What we saw
was
is
like
all it was.
Two lines or something like that. Whatever it was like two lines, just so you could make notice that it was you in there and all that.
Do you okay, I have a story about you too. Okay. I took a lot of heat online because I bought Ghetto Fabulous instead of buying Blueprint.
Big Sean told me that too. Big
Get
Sean
the fuck
told
out of
me
here.
That he bought my album over Blueprint that year. But I also Big Sean was the age he was, like all of this is generational. So just like she said she ain't know certain song. Like so Big Sean at the age he was, I was more relatable to him
to
than Jay-Z was. You know what I'm saying?
I can see that.
He told me that before too, but you the second person out that besides Big Sean, I had never really heard nobody say instead of or like
I
that.
I think it happened. I'm saying this because I mean I get killed online for this tale. I said it with Elliot Wilson one day, but I think more people did it than they're willing to admit. Is my perspective.
It's also sometimes music. That's why like people be getting mad at people's top fives and favorites and all that. It's all really what relates to you. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like when people tell me they top fives, I'd be like, all right, cool. You know what I'm saying? I don't be like, nah, that's crazy. That, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes people have put me in a top five and the other people in their top five. I'm like, where do I fit? You know what I mean? In that with those people, but at the same time, it's really who connected to you and who, what you was listening to, and that's, you know what I mean? There's no wrong answer in your top five, and your who's, you know what I'm saying? Who's your Mount Rushmore, or who, anything you try, your top 10, is yours, you know what I'm saying? So that's how I look at all of it.
I'm glad you said that, because we got cooked. We started a debate on the show about, has your favorite rapper been out-rapped?
Oh, we was on the radio with that.
Yeah, so then it went over to Twitter, and I said, well, my favorite rapper ain't never been out-rapped. Like, I can't relate to you niggas. Mm-hmm. And the song that was up for the conversation was Nothing On Me, with Wayne.
With me, Wayne?
You and, yeah.
And who else was on that song?
Juelz.
You know what's the crazy story about that song? I did that verse for Alchemist. He held that verse for a year and a half, almost 2 years, and then gave it to Wayne for Carter or whatever it was on, Carter 3 or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I had did that as a freestyle for Alchemist.
Get the fuck out of
and
here.
And next time I heard it was on Lil Wayne album with Juelz and all that. So it was never feature for anybody. Or
did
anything.
Y'all know that?
That's
crazy. Y'all was just on the show talking about verses that y'all laid that didn't come out.
Right.
Verses that y'all laid
that
didn't come out.
Songs that we did with people.
Yeah. For people, yeah.
Has there been any verses that you guys did for an artist and then when it came out, somebody else was on it and they just completely removed you?
Oh. Boom, so you got boomed
up
song?
You got kicked off the song.
That's crazy.
Moved up a song?
Without notice?
I don't think I got boomed off a record like that. That's crazy. I've
done a song on a beat. And it was in my mind, it's my record, and then I hear the joint come out.
Oh, the beat.
I hear a song.
That happened a couple times.
I hear a song on that same beat. It's somebody else's song.
Beats around, so like sometimes
right shit now, like that'll get you hot.
An artist gave me a record. I'm playing my record in the studio. He hit a hook. Man, like, yo, where you get my record from? Like, no, this is my record.
Right.
Artists gave him the same hook he gave me.
That
happened with me and Eminem, though.
The same hook.
I'm Not Afraid.
Oh, nah, that's crazy.
What? I'm Not Afraid. That beat, that was my beat first. I had a whole song.
I'm not afraid.
Sometimes producers just
shop the beats. Yeah.
Yeah, they just emailing and sending it to everybody.
That's
so you might do a song with it. Sometimes you might not let the producer know exactly when you first do it,
what
or
you did, right.
Sometimes you do it and it's kind of like in a tuck and you just have it for a little while. But they still sending the beat.
But
out.
The same hook.
I never heard.
Yo, he
same
came
hook.
To
same
my studio and sang the
hook. Double it up on a hook is
he
crazy.
He sang the hook in front of me in my studio, bro.
Yeah, that's crazy. Double up on a hook.
I don't know who had it for, well, he sung it with you?
He sung it in my studio.
Oh, so I got it second then. I'm like,
that's crazy, bro.
You said, now I got one for you, man.
Yeah.
I said, this is hard.
I sang this shit at Jim's studio, like, Jim recorded
me. He didn't tell me he was with Capo. And I guess he felt like them niggas be together, so I could just. That's you know what I mean?
You probably gonna jump on the record anyway.
Right. It's the Lobby Boys. Like,
I'm hoping he's thinking that.
Yeah, he had to be thinking like that. Mm.
Jim, you said
we don't want to get nobody in trouble up here.
You said you kicked somebody off a song. Can you tell us who you kicked off?
No?
You're
a little bit messy?
A little bit. You see the card.
Okay. So another quick thing with you, Mano, is I don't know if you remember this, but rest in peace to Huey. You did a video.
That's right, with Huey.
And I met you. That was over 10 years ago or something like that. But that's the day I actually met you in person. I've already been a fan because when you did Rumors, I edited that so I could play it on my college radio show. I edited that and I edited 300 Bars when that shit came out. Wow. That's my Mano origin story. But when I actually met you in person, do you remember the conversation we had?
Nah, we was shooting in Atlanta, right?
Yeah, we was just chopping it up. But I remember you told me you was born. I forgot where you said you was born. And I was like, oh, you from the West Coast. And you got mad at me.
I was born here. No, I was born in New York, but I lived in Watts.
Okay, bet.
As a baby.
Okay, and that's when I was like, oh, so you from the West Coast. Yeah, and then you got mad at me. You was like, no, I'm from Brooklyn,
I'm
nigga.
I'm from Brooklyn, nigga. Listen.
I was wondering why you was asking me what high school I went to.
I was born here. I was saying here. I was born in New York. I was born in Brooklyn.
I thought you was a Brooklyn nigga all this time, man.
I was born in Brooklyn, right? So when I turned about.
Look at East Face, bro.
When I turned.
Let's get this story straight. Get this shit straight.
Yo, listen. When I turned about one. We moved to Watts.
Oh, okay.
So we lived there for maybe like 2 years and went back to Brooklyn.
And went back to Brooklyn. Yes. Okay. Because I remember that. Me and Glass was talking about that shit. Yeah, I was like, remember when Mano got mad at me because I said he was a West Coast nigga? He's like, nah, I'm from Brooklyn, nigga. That shit was funny.
Have you seen all the like the TikToks and stuff with you looking over your
shades? Yeah, I see them.
Have any eyewear brands reached out to you?
I'm talking to some people. Yeah.
Oh, okay. You got to, hey, when you get the Mano frames, let 100%. Me know. You know what I'm saying? I 100%. Need that. These are prescription. This ain't fashion shit.
That's right.
East, for you, like, you've been coming out here, like, we've been rocking forever, but right. I remember somebody told me a story where when you first came out here, you went to one of the neighborhoods, and you was just hanging out at the park all day. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I that was the first time I ever, like, heard of you, like not from music side, but from the other homies, right?
Right.
And I was like, why the fuck would he do that? Not like that, but I'm just saying, like.
Chilling.
But I'm just saying, do you remember that? Do you remember that day?
Yeah.
Okay. Would you do that? Did you make that a practice? Like, you was just like, I'm going to come fuck with the homies?
It depend on, like, my time. If I got time to go over there, like, it depend.
Because I just always related you and Nip together because I didn't learn about y'all through my friends that did music.
Right.
So that's it.
I ain't going to hold you. I didn't realize how locked in you was with the city. Like, I seen niggas I went to high school with at your last thing. I'm like, oh, niggas really fuck with Dave out here.
Fuck with L.A. Hall. Oh, you know that.
Another thing from a music perspective, Mano, is I remember you did I don't remember what the time period was when you came home, but when you came home and you first put out the High Hater, right? To me, that was like a brilliant, like it was just a brilliant song. It was one of the first songs that I remember going viral, but it wasn't corny.
Right.
I don't know if that makes sense. Like, you know, like you had like the dance songs that was going viral, but yours, like you were saying some real nigga shit, but it fit with that.
It was in a way, like it was still able to get those ringtones. This is the ringtone era.
Was that something that you thought about beforehand or it just worked out that way?
Nah, it just came together. Like, you know how sometimes it's just magic, man. It's just the perfect beat with the perfect hook.
Okay.
Sometimes, you know what I mean? And then with the marketing behind it.
Okay.
Because, so like, if it ain't had a marketing behind it, that muscle, that building, that money, that, you know, making it a priority, then, record with no plan is not a record at all. So the fact that I was able to have the song that sounded like something and then have the building behind it, that's what made it work.
And my second question from that specific album, I love, All the Above is literally one of my playlists, one of my inspirational playlists that I got. Do you regret that song?
It was like number one out here.
I know.
Back then, yeah.
Do you regret, because I don't know if I heard, I may have heard through the record that you didn't fuck with the record. Like, do you regret that song?
No.
Or?
That's a myth. That's a myth. I felt some way about High Hater.
You felt some way about High Hater?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I just was like, like, All the Above. I love All the Above. Like, this is pain. I'm talking about something. Like, how I hate it felt like. How I hate it is the reason why niggas was like, he can't rap. When I was like, I could really rap, but I was like dumbing it down to try to find me a hit record. You know what I'm saying? Which I tell niggas nowadays, don't even do that. But I was trying to find me something so I could get some motion. You see what I'm saying? Like, I was like purposely trying to downgrade whatever I thought I could do to find me a hit record. You know what I'm Got saying? You. So okay. Yeah, nah, it's the reverse.
It's reverse. Okay.
But I appreciate it all though. Don't get me wrong. I don't hate nothing that I ever done.
Okay. Well, you know, that's the stigma. Like, artists put out songs and they don't like they hit records. I'm like, nigga, that's crazy to me.
I felt like that. It comes off of records.
Yeah. Which one?
Off the top of my head, Throw It in the Bag.
You don't like Throw It in the Bag?
Nah, I felt like it was like when me and Dream did that record, I felt like Throw It in the Bag should have been more like a R&B joint and me putting a verse on that more than it should have been a rap record.
I felt like you should have been a feature. With,
yeah, that's how I felt
really?
About it. Yeah.
Fun
they
fact.
They just pressured me into like putting it out. I think I will say I felt like Def Jam just put it out too.
Didn't
and then
you?
It just caught or they put the money behind whatever it is and it went and then there was nothing I could do about it. It was already, it's already lit.
Out of here.
I have a theory, Fabulous, that Soul Tape is an album cosplaying as a mixtape.
Yeah.
was that intentional, like during the process? That
I think at that time with Soul Tapes came, mixtapes were going in that fashion of being like albums, you know what I'm saying? Mixtapes for me before that were like just me freestyling over other people's beats. I came from the Clue era of mixtapes, so that era of mixtapes was completely different from the 2010 on mixtape. From that time, it started being original songs, you know, when the Drake, Kendrick,
yeah.
J. Cole, from that era, their mixtapes were really like albums, but they just called them mixtapes. Mm-hmm. Mixtapes before that were really you freestyling over other people's music. You might have a joint or two that you did, but it wasn't a whole tape of original music in a sense. You know what I'm saying? Like, I did songs over other people's beats. Like, you know what I'm saying? Even though, like, a 50 mixtape when that time where 50 was building his mix, all of those were other people beats too.
Yeah.
So that was how mixtapes were done, you know, pre 2010 and stuff like that. And then from then on, that's why Soul Tape is different from like my mixtapes before that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there is no competition and all of that type of stuff.
Okay, so I have a Lord Knows question.
What's Lord Knows?
Your freestyle Lord Knows.
Oh, you really are. All right, go ahead.
Okay, you said on Lord Knows, you got to watch the picture that you're painting with your verses. We go out niggas' mouth. I don't know about bitches' purses.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Lord Knows is a Drake song. Drake said in his, I'm going through her purse. I'm going in her purse if she goes to the bathroom. Go through her phone. Won't trust these hoes at all. Something like that.
It wasn't really like a Drake diss. It was just a flip of, like, I was flipping that song, so it was my perspective
of
on what he was saying. It was really never really like I'm going at Drake for him saying that he going people first. As I was just saying that we don't do that.
Conspiracy theorist right here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Did y'all see?
I told you, she know all the lyrics. Yeah. I'm telling you, bro, she's a lyricist.
She got it.
She, watched, she know all the battle rap. Right. She know
that
all that
was
shit.
A thing. That
bro,
was definitely
she was surgical
like,
with that thing. She was like, yeah, for real.
What? Did you ever get a chance? Because you did the Mama Freestyle in 2016. Did you ever get a chance? Because in the freestyle, you say, chopped it up with Kobe 2 times.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get a chance to talk to him before he passed or like after the freestyle drop?
I don't think after the freestyle dropped. I was in L.A. when that happened. I think because it was either Grammys or some kind of award show when it happened. But nah, not before. All of my things was before that. Like even that song was kind of done in admiration of what before it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But I met him a few times or just came cross paths with him or even going to the game, you know, he say what's up. My closest I think encounter was the Trade It All video we shot out here and he pulled up to the set. I remember they was like trying to get Kobe in the video. And they was trying to come over to me, yo, go ask Kobe to be in the video. I'm like, I ain't asking that nigga to be in no video. So I told one of them, I said, Clue was like, I'll go ask him. And Clue went and asked him, and he curved Clue. He was like, nah, I just came to show
for
love.
Real?
That, yeah, he just didn't want to be
oh,
in the
see,
video,
like,
I guess. Like, yeah, he was okay. Just coming to show love in that sense. So it was still cool to me. I was, you know what I mean? Like, he had to be in the video. You know what I mean?
That's crazy. Jim, when it came to, because it made me think about Ballin', what Mano said about the records, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know Ballin' is like that. I think that's when that took you to a whole nother level as a solo artist? Like, mm-hmm. you were already doing your thing, but do you feel any way about that record? Like, do you get tired of performing it? Do you hate that people only want to hear that record? Or, like, not only one, but I'm saying, like, do you feel...
I mean, at times it felt like the gift and the curse.
Okay.
Until I realized I had to let that shit go, stop chasing the success of balling, and just live life and keep doing music, and that's it. But there was a time I was chasing the success of balling, and it was killing me.
Why?
Daily. Just trying to be, it's just something about the allure of that success, or you think your mind goes through that. You got to do better than what you did last time and things like that. You're always trying to beat that level of success. And then time went by, I realized how great of a thing I did, and it's something I achieved, and I don't have to achieve the same thing twice. You can still do just as good a life without it and continue to be who you are. So that was a good lesson for me and things like that.
I have a question about balling specifically, because I remember when I was younger at that time when that was all going on. But I remember Koch Records mm-hmm. being like the place where people, to me, in my mind, now that I know the music business, at that time I didn't understand shit. But I thought artists can just go there and be independent and be free and like put out whatever they want and all that kind of shit, right? Later on, I found out how the music business worked. But do you still believe in being fully independent as an artist, or do you still believe that the system has value?
It depends on what type of artist you are. I believe the system has value to certain artists, and I believe independent has a lot of value to certain artists. But if you want to be an independent artist, realize that the work is going to be 10 times as harder than it is to when you have a whole support system and a building behind you, and you have to fill in all those gaps and all the things that the building does for your success. And that's one thing that a lot of these artists that have so much made success due to being with labels and things, and then they want to switch over into independent success without an actual plan, and not knowing that they have to still have a bit of a machine so they can still push their success further and things like that. You probably get some burn just saying, yo, I'm independent, but it takes more than you just saying you're independent. It takes a real team of pushing that music and that business for you to get the bag. So it depends on who the artist is. Some people are artists, artist-driven, and they need that support. And then some people are entrepreneurs with their artistry, and then they can take the independent route because that's more suitable for them. And I was that person. I was more suitable for me to take the independent route because I'm an entrepreneur by heart and a hustler. You know what I mean?
I can see that. I know when we talked to you was here last time about it, but do you feel share the same sentiment now being fully? Like,
yeah, hell yeah. I think.
Is it harder for you though?
Nah, because I already was set up to be indie. Like, I feel like coming in and doing the major run, it taught me like exactly how I want to move as far as just my own music. You know what I mean? But I think I only could have learned that being on a major.
Yeah, that's how I feel too. Mm-hmm. Like going and do that and then do your own thing.
But I don't think every artist needs that. Like, it's different types of artists, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? A different type of audiences and communities they're going for. I feel like independent kind of could connect you directly to your... I feel like certain artists, if you just got like a big R&B, like they need certain looks and platforms for their music to be connected and accepted right. and stuff like that. If you're not an artist that needs, you know, every single, like, you know, you might not need every single platform. You just need your community yeah. and build your base there. You know what I'm saying? I feel like a lot of independent artists have showed that. They got their own shows and tours. They have yeah. their own motion without having to be nominated for awards and all of that. They right. got their own, you know what I'm saying? So I don't think it's for every artist either anymore. I think before that was the lane you had to do before independent was a real stable lane, but now it's opened up and everybody can do it what's fit for them.
It's been rumored that Love and Hip Hop is coming to an end, but Jim, the people that been there from the beginning remember like you was like the blueprint. Do you think that
I made this show.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the people that was there, you know, they know. But do you think that you set the standard for urban reality TV shows?
Me?
Yeah.
I created something that was taken into an exploitation lane. I didn't create it for that. What I created wasn't for exploitation. What I created was for the soul of the hard work that we was doing. And I was able to present an opportunity to Chrissy. And by us not wanting to compromise our dignity, we choose to leave the brand and stuff like that, relinquish all power that we had because it wasn't suitable and it wasn't worth or going back and forth with somebody about something that I created that they was trying to switch and change. So, you know, but it was great. I mean, they made tons and tons and millions of dollars. I've seen a lot of people prosper from it. I've seen a lot of people burn from it. But it was definitely a hell of a business structure that they was able to feed so many families off of and create so many jobs off of. So, you know, I'm happy to be able to create something that was able to do so much.
Wasn't it another name first before Love and Hip Hop that y'all was like building on or something?
We was trying to do another name, and then Love and Hip Hop fell in the park.
But it was just supposed to be you and Chrissy.
The show premise was about Chrissy being involved with an artist and what a lady being involved with an artist has to go through. And then that went from when we was building it, like, yo, do you have any friends that you can add to it that are in a similar situations? And that's why they started adding different females that had.
That's why I remember the another name, because Emily's involvement. Yeah. And I remember
Emily's the one that created the name.
Oh,
after they had the means and the first
really?
Name. It was the first name we was going with. I forgot what the other name was.
She
was like, Emily said Love and Hip Hop. I was like, oh, that's fire. And then, so yeah.
Damn.
I don't think people know how involved that like you guys were with the early stages.
We created. You're not understanding. You saying keep saying involved. There's no Love and Hip Hop if I didn't create it. I created. I'm the creator of it. I'm not. Nobody hired me to come be a. I created it. I created the synopsis, the premise. That's my show.
Wow.
My show. I said I walked away from it. The year I walked away from it, they had to give me everything I wanted. Executive producer, all the credits, everything. Everything you see Mona Sky had. The time I decided to walk away from it was. The time I would have been Mona because it was my show. You heard? There's a whole nother backstory behind it, but I'm grateful to be a part of something and create something that so many people was able to prosper off of. Wow. I created something big. So I'm not, I mean, just
damn, to I didn't know you that. Was the Love and Hip Hop OG.
That's me.
The real guru.
So I'm not the only one that did that.
No, that's game.
No, that's
game.
VH1 was trying to do a reality show with me for a few years. And I always said nah, because at that time, rappers was like, reality TV was like, nigga, you bugging out. You need some money. You broke something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You dig? So I had left it alone. And
but
then
reality TV was huge at the time.
It was.
Yeah, all those shows.
Niggas was looking at it like you and your last
active rappers.
Everybody was watching them shit.
Chrissy got a chance to do a reality show. She went to L.A. with a couple other people in the industry. It didn't go through, so when she came back, she was mad about it. And I was like, yo, I got these people in VH1 on my line every day. We do a show about you dealing with me. I won't be on the show. It'll be about you, and I just play my part so the camera can see me. She was like, bet. I called the dude. His name was John. I forgot his last name. Like, yo, I want to do the show. He like, come to the office. I went to the office with Yandy. She was my manager at the time, and Yandy had to go on tour with Missy Elliott because I wasn't touring at the time. I wasn't doing nothing, so she had a chance to make some money. So the next meeting I had, she sent Mona Scott with me in representation of her because Mona Scott is Yandy's OG.
Word.
So she's like, Mona's going to go with you to the meeting as representation.
That's a crazy little twist. Hold up. You brought Mona to the meeting. That's a crazy little story. You want to hear it?
Nobody know. Like, you dig? So the whole Love and Hip Hop is my show. Period. Hands down.
Stay tuned for Mona Scott's version of this story.
She
about to pop up like after this interview drops. Nah, I'm not saying
she
is.
She can take credit for everything that goes on.
How shit go nowadays.
She has nothing to do with the show. But so Yandy went away and Missy Elliott. We could call Missy. Yandy was on the tour with Missy Elliott. Mona Scott took Yandy's position to walk me into the meeting. She walked in the meeting as management and left that meeting as executive producer of my show.
Get the fuck out of here.
Wow.
Sorry, y'all didn't know this shit either. No. I was like, bro, this is news.
Learn something new every day.
We got
but
the
it
clip.
It was cool. So we started the show, first season. When I found out what was going on, this was whole started the whole discomfort between me and Yandy and everybody because of all of that. Second season, after I lawyers and everything going through, VH1 agreed to all of me and Chrissy's ownership, executive producer, everything laid out. Yeah. And shit was happening. It wasn't worth it for us at the time. And
wow.
But the show did definitely spin from what you probably originally And then it turned, once they saw, because also how everybody was watching reality TV, they also was watching the mess. They want to see entertainment. 100%. So it spent from just being like, reality spent from just being like, everyday thing to now, we want to see people throwing drinks in people's face.
Right, that's what that's what you're talking about. That like, it became
turning into when that, Chrissy and that's threw, what the
when
the
Chrissy
focus
threw the
was.
First punch on the show. You heard? Remember? I don't remember what the first punch was. Whatever that first punch was after all the dysfunction, that's when everything shot went crazy, and that's when the things that Fab is talking about.
So
turn,
what
like,
you saying?
Oh,
is
this
you,
is this the angle this right here? We just gonna go dysfunction to the episode. To the highest level,
right? But it was your IP though.
Yeah,
you walked in there. It was your 100% intellectual property.
100%.
Wow.
And what? I'm not going for no class action lawsuits, none of that type of shit. God has given me so many gifts and have made me so much of a creative person that the things that I'm embarking on right now gonna be way iller than that thing that I gave them.
Wow.
Did they have your permission to sneak you in those scenes?
I was seeing like, scenes on it.
Yeah, it was a fashion show, and you like sitting there. They got you. They got you.
You didn't know?
No, I don't know. They might have been just. You don't know? There,
some footage
know.
Is like public
really
shit that don't
shit.
Really.
Yeah. That they could just yeah. They just use that like they could bend
certain
the,
seconds
bend the lines
and it's this it. Blurred line. Like yeah.
I wasn't really.
They
were
trying
on
to get
show.
Fab a super bag. They asked me to call them to get a super bag. Like we're paying whatever to get on the show.
Well, I remember that was it was like a part of dialogue that you don't fuck with reality and stuff like that.
Yeah, it just wasn't something I was trying to do at the time too. I was you know very heavy in my career at the time. But they was asking me to be on it, but I just never was.
They had a nice one for one episode.
Hey, Jill wants the finder's fee.
Can we get the number?
Man, I don't know how many years it is now, but that's bad.
They used to send Emily at me. You'd be like laying there in bed. She'd be like, yo, what you think about doing an episode? I'm like, bruh.
Are you serious?
Yeah. They start sending all kind of people at you. Like, they wanted, you know what I mean? They want to be on the show.
They're anticipating. Remember, we're living in real. I'm doing the show now in real time with my success. And Fab is already super duper Fab at the time. Super platinum. So it's like the show is going in real time. The more pieces they can add to the show from the hip-hop culture that's actually there. And these are... their significant other, like we got it. They was trying to get everything going on. Like,
they even started trying to go at me on the show. Like they'll show Emily and be like, "But where's Fab?"
Oh, I remember
like some
that.
Kind of photo shoot or something that they were doing and try to look like I ain't show up to the photo shoot.
Like
you,
no, they was dirty Mac.
I remember.
Yeah,
they started, dirty Mac.
They definitely
Mac-y.
Was dirty Mac.
I don't
want to
get into
you.
It, but
dirty Mac.
They was dirty Mac.
Are you a dirty Mac-er?
No, he
can't be a
dirty.
You cannot be.
I'm dirty Mac police.
He ain't even that.
Oh, you dirty Mac.
I'm dirty Mac police.
That wasn't dirty Mac-ing what she just did. No, he is. That's not dirty Mac-ing.
Huh?
Her saying no, he is. You didn't ask her that. She said no. He oh, is. That's dirty Mac.
Well, that's dirty Mac, and that you trying to put it back on me.
Niggas dick is traded. Dirty Mac.
Dirty Mac. Dirty Mac is
dirty Mac. Yeah, we have to get an understanding. Dirty Mac
is
talking against somebody else.
Yeah,
I don't do that. I don't do that.
For your benefit.
You don't never bring up a nigga.
You never went to a woman.
I don't bring up.
Maybe start talking about a nigga tripping and buying me back some shit. He gonna be like, "Ugh, niggas is doing. Oh, I can't get with that."
But that ain't really
dirty
Mac.
That's
not dirty
Mac.
Trying to get with you.
That's more hating than dirty
Mac.
I'll accept that.
That's more hating than dirty
Mac. I'll accept that.
Just hating.
I tell you, I'm a hater. I'm not a dirty. Macker.
That's more hate than dirty
I'm a hater.
Because
I hate.
Let that be clear.
You heard Paul.
Fucking hater.
I'm a hater. Not a dirty
Macker.
I got class my shit. You heard?
Y'all been dirty Macker on before, though?
There's a difference in hating dirty Macker.
Like, found out?
I already told y'all what happened.
We had this conversation all the time.
I was hanging with a dirty Macker. Like, say, they hang with you after that? Everything is cool.
After they dirty Macker.
I already told you. Any nigga dirty Macker on me got his bitch fucked anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, that's shit. Yeah. That's what happens when you dirty Mac.
What's the most smut or like the worst smut that like a nigga done put on your name to a girl?
I done heard all kinds of you fuck with him. Like damn, you know he be.
It could get crazy. You know, because niggas get creative with this dirty Mac. You heard? Niggas get hella creative with the dirty Mac and say some shit that I didn't even know. Like
it'd be lies. Sometimes it's true ones. Like damn, nigga really giving a sauce out. But it lies. It's mostly lies a lot of times.
When they put you with somebody specific that you ain't even never dealt with.
Oh, they told on you.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying
they
it's
just
like
putting
I never
false
even,
bitches
I never
on
even
you.
Dealt with. Yeah, you putting false hoes with me.
That's crazy.
Oh, telling your
false
bitch about
false allegations
other
is crazy.
False, you putting bodies on me that don't even belong.
That's crazy. That's how people go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, we got to wrap in 5 minutes, but I got a lot of shit for Fabulous. Well, you go.
So you want to finish it up? We can leave.
No.
Let's finish. I got to turn me into a whole.
Get your one on one.
Let's fab about it.
Let's fab about it.
Let's fab about it.
I'm sorry. I've been like a groupie for a long time. I actually.
Nah, we gonna get a one on one vibe. Right now we here with the.
I used to work at Staples Center. We was at the BET Awards, and I did some just clown shit. So I was an usher at the door that the talent walks through.
Worked your way up.
I'm just waiting where the story goes.
Shit's crazy out here. I saw you get out the car, and then like I'm supposed to be checking your credentials, but I didn't give a fuck. I'm like, it's Fabulous. He's supposed to be here, whatever. But I like hid behind a bush. So I don't know if you saw a usher at the thing, and then you saw nobody there, but you was walking up like, what the fuck, weirdo? And then I was like, hi, you're my favorite rapper. And you just said thank you, and you walked in.
And then you
from behind the bush.
You did the Homer Simpson shit.
Yeah.
She sunk in that motherfucker.
Niggas gotta do the meme with Gina sinking into the
bush.
Okay, I do wanna know, is there a time frame on the album?
Not really. I'm just trying not to. I wanna put out music, but I'm also just trying to get it where I want it to be. Especially since it's taking so much time, I don't want to get to the end and be rushing. But I'm really almost there, to be honest. I'm putting a lot of work. It's been years of me just doing different things, and so I really want to put it out. But I want to just get over this last stage. But sometimes you just be overthinking shit too, just trying to do the extras, and a lot of times you gotta just be Dave East and put that shit out.
Drop that shit.
Yeah. Drop love too.
East is good for that. Yeah.
Drop
that shit out tomorrow.
That's my inspiration. Every time I look up, he dropping. I'm like, yo, I gotta drop. This nigga Easton dropped six albums on him. I gotta fucking drop.
Do you ever see like when something is going on in pop culture and then on Twitter they'll be like the Fab be like bars and stuff. So they'll like have like a whole thing of like how Fab will respond to something going on in pop culture.
No.
You've never seen those?
Nah, on Twitter or TikTok?
On Twitter.
Nah, I'm a little slow on Twitter now, though. I ain't gonna lie. So I might have. At one point, I was heavy on Twitter, and then I slowed down. Instagram, of course, became a thing, and you kind of shift over there. Yeah. And I know, of course, there's people on Twitter chopping it up and shit, but I felt like now every social media that comes, they got the. Like, TikTok is the wave and shit now. Everybody's on TikTok. I ain't even on heavy on TikTok, but I always hear people talking about TikTok. Mm-hmm. So I felt like that was more than Twitter. But I never seen, like, anything new that's been going on Twitter. I'm kind of lost on it. I ain't gonna lie.
I was just talking to Maya about her impact and influence with the jersey dresses. So obviously reminded me of you. You had the athlete jerseys that you had, but then you took it to another level with like the Willie Beam and the
movie joints,
the movie ones, the TV shows and stuff. Did you, when you was throwing on them jerseys, did you realize you were shaping the fashion in hip-hop?
Yeah, I was just trying to do something different for real. Like you said, people knew me for the jerseys, but I said like, yo, what if we do like sports jerseys from the movies, you know what I'm saying? So Willie Beam or the Drake Degrassi joint, or what else I had?
The Bel Air.
Yeah, the Bel Air or the Jesus Shuttleworth from He Got Game. So
Love
it was just having another little spin on it.
So that wasn't a New York thing? That was sold to me as a New York thing.
The
jersey thing was from my homies.
The original jersey thing, like way back? Or you mean the movie? Original jersey?
Niggas wearing jerseys, they sold that to me.
That was all over.
That was everywhere.
Yeah, that was everywhere at that little time. Jersey.
Niggas in New York
warm. Yeah.
I think Fab just did it
different.
Yeah, I just over like level. Stamped it, but like everybody was wearing jerseys
also,
in that sense. Like
there was also a thing where like it was like you and Hove, right, doing the jersey thing. But then after he put out, I think it was Change Clothes or I don't remember what
they said, take the jerseys off,
button up or something like that. Yeah. Was you already moved on at that point?
Probably. Or that kind of like was like, oh, shit, I think people was kind of moved on. Period at that time, and he was just kind of making it a staple of. All right, we on this now. Hove used to be that kind of guy, you know what I'm saying? So he was kind of, and it was what he was on. Hov seemed like he was on his businessman Hov shit. So like he telling people to put on button ups. The button up wave it, hit it worked, for a little bit.
Did you get rid of your shit before that?
I mean, we put it up. Like, we was, you know what I mean? You might have still wore something here and there. Even now, I still wear a jersey here and there. But, like, it wasn't just, in that time when it was hot, you was wearing a jersey every day.
Got it.
Different that shit joint, was a uniform.
Football joint, baseball joint, basketball joint, hockey joint.
That was going to the club. Yep. That was during the day, chilling outside. That was, it was everywhere you wanted to go, you throwing on a jersey. You might have went to a wedding with a jersey on at that time.
See, that's real. That's what I'm talking about.
Fitted, it was a talk.
Fitted like, match.
You had the Mitchell and Ness joint. Like, yo, jerseys was a heavy.
Before social media got so, like, popular, you was known for being the best-dressed rapper in the game. Was that pressure for you? Like, was that even a factor? Did you care about that or anything?
Not really, because I never was really stamping that or saying that as my I think people took a liking to certain things, and that's when, you know, it started going around, but I never was like coming out. I was never like, you know, like some of the fashion guys that say, you know, they the best dressed person in the game. Like I never took that stamp on. Even as jerseys and all that, that wasn't really like a super. That was just some swaggy shit that we like to wear. But it wasn't like I was high fashion. You know what I mean? The way I put it together is how I put it together. But I wasn't looking at myself like I'm a fashionista because I'm wearing a jersey with a hat to match, you know what I'm saying? So people started just appreciating it and liking it, and you know what I mean, that just came with it. And of course, if somebody say they like the style, you say thanks and keep it pushing. But basically, you know.
First and foremost, thank y'all for being here. It's an honor to have y'all here.
Appreciate y'all.
We'll love it when y'all come back, you know, to the West Coast.
So good, DJ time. Head, my nigga.
Please come back.
You know what I'm saying? Appreciate
DJ
y'all.
DJ H.
IH.
Let's rap about it. His here is effective immediately.
My nigga.